that's a good lesson on prayer too, because sometimes we think, well, God is bothered with these little things, you know. They're big things to us, but they're seemingly little things, and yet God answers our prayers, and He wants us to bring every need and every problem to Him, and He'll answer it. That's great. Okay. Here in Romans chapter 1, if you want to turn there, if you're not there already, we're going to look at these seven characteristics of a true servant of Jesus Christ. And Paul introduces himself as that. Verse 1 is a very interesting verse to me. He said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And Paul, if you study church history and study the Bible, you know that he wasn't always accepted as an apostle because the apostles didn't choose him. You remember in Acts chapter 1, they chose somebody else. And that's the last you heard of somebody else, Matthias. And because God all along is intended for Paul to be that one apostle who would fill the position of Judas, who, of course, betrayed the Lord. And so Paul, throughout his ministry, he had to defend his apostleship. He was called an apostle, not by men, but by God. But in this verse, instead of emphasizing first that he was an apostle, the first thing he emphasized was, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. And I thought that was just really great. And, of course, he also tells them he is an apostle. And that's important for them to know. But the emphasis Paul placed in this passage of Scripture was being a servant of the Lord. And that was the first thing he mentioned. So I think that gives us a little clue that the first thing that God wants us to be, He wants us to be a servant. He wants us to serve Him. And we're going to see how in this message tonight. And I have a problem with anyone who, in the course of their service for the Lord Jesus Christ, they develop an arrogant, holier-than-thou attitude. That's not pleasing to the Lord. But Paul didn't have that. He wasn't in this verse saying, hey, look, I'm an apostle. Jesus called me as an apostle. You better listen to me. He didn't say that. He said, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, and by the way, Paul was a very educated man. But he humbled himself and let people know he was a servant of somebody else. And you know, that's what the world needs today, is to hear us say that we are the servant of somebody else. And that somebody else is the Lord Jesus Christ. The word, by the way, Paul taught in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, that we are to esteem other better than ourselves. And the word esteem means to consider. I am to consider you as being better than me. That's the attitude God wants us to have. That's the attitude that's pleasing to the Lord, not some arrogant attitude. The word servant in verse 1 is the word the Greek word doulos, meaning to be in bondage. And speaking of one who gives himself to the will of another. So if you're going to be a true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you must be in submission to Him in everything you do, in all your life. That should be your goal. That I'm going to be, for the rest of my life, I'm going to be a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm going to surrender to Him. In the Bible times, we have the term bondservant. And when a servant became a bondservant, in other words, a servant could be someone somebody bought to serve them. But there was a period of time when the bond servant would be freed, or when a servant would be freed. But if you want to be a bond servant, they marked a hole in his ear to let people know that he was a servant by will. That person was saying, "Hey, I've got a good master. He's taken care of me all these years. And I can be free, but I want to be a bond servant to that master." In other words, when you're a bond servant, or a servant or a bond servant, that master owns you. That term we use, lock, stock, and barrel. He owns everything you have. And that's the way it should be with the Lord Jesus Christ, that He owns us lock, stock, and barrel. And so I asked the question at the beginning of this message, does Jesus Christ have that kind of authority in your life? Have you truly yielded to Him to be your master and you to be His servant? And we would ask the question, well, when did that authority begin in Paul's life? We know when it began. It began on the Damascus Road. Paul was on his way to Damascus to further persecute the church. And he met the Lord Jesus. And that was his conversion. When it first happened, Paul asked this question, "Who art thou, Lord?" I think he already knew something, don't you? He knew Christ was Lord. From that point on, Acts chapter 9, verse 5, he was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. From the very moment Paul was saved, he was sold out to Jesus Christ for the rest of his life. That's the way it should be. I pray that's the way that we are in our lives. Now, does Jesus Christ have a right to that kind of authority in your life? And of course, 1 Corinthians 6:20 and 7:23 tells us you're bought with a price. Of course, that price was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrated that with communion this morning. Since He gave His life for us so that we could have eternal life, then don't you think we ought to be submitted to Him? We ought to be His servant. We need to give our lives to Him. Now, what are the characteristics of a true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? In the text that I read, there are seven. First of all, a true servant of Jesus Christ will be thankful. I want you to notice that in verse 8. And it's interesting, you read down the first seven verses, and then in verse 8, the first verse, or the first word is what? First. So, Paul said, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." That'd be a good testimony for any nation to have, wouldn't it? It's a testimony that I think to a degree our nation has had, but our nation's testimony is not too good anymore. But we know Jesus is coming soon. But a true servant, after he said first, he said, I thank. So a true servant of the Lord will be thankful. In this verse, Paul gives thanks to God for the testimony of the Christians in Rome, and that their testimony was known throughout the world. They had taken a stand on what they had learned from the Apostle Paul, what he had taught them. They had received it. And boy, what a contrast to the present Church of Rome. It's entirely different. The present Church of Rome has departed so far from the Christian faith. And they did it by adding things to the Word of God. The Bible tells us we're not to add or to take away from the Word of God, but the current Church of Rome has added so much to their doctrine that is not found in the Word of God. And I could spend a whole night preaching on that, but I'm not going to do that. I think you know what I'm talking about. But my point is that to be a true servant of Jesus Christ, we will be known for our thanksgiving. We will be thankful people. The Bible teaches us to be thankful. Matter of fact, turn to 2 Corinthians. And chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. What God's grace has done for us, we need to make that known, don't we? The world out there needs to know this is what we're thankful for, is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the great salvation that He has given to us. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things. Now that verse gets a little bit difficult. What if your house burned down like these people's house burned down yesterday? Could you give thanks for that? Be hard, wouldn't it? But we're to give thanks for all things. We're to realize as Christians, God has a purpose in our lives for all things that happen to us. And only as your will is submitted to His will, can you give thanks for all things. Number two. And Dave's preached that for us, so we'll go on to number three. No, I'm just... We'll stop and add to that a little bit, Dave. Chapter 1, verse 9. Paul says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my what? Prayers. So a true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ will be prayerful. The servant of the Lord not only is always giving thanks, but he's always praying. And he said he'd do it without ceasing. What does that mean? Does that mean he has to be on his knees all the time? Does that mean we have to be on our knees all the time? No. But it means that we are always ready to talk to the Lord in every situation of our life. When we run up against something, we can talk to the Lord, can't we? And we can ask the Lord to help us. And we can ask the Lord to give us His answer. And by the way, it's a mistake to pray as often we hear people pray. And they say, Lord, we come into Thy presence. You ever heard that? I've probably done that myself. But did you know we're always in the presence of the Lord? We don't have to pray and say, Lord, we're coming to your presence. We're already there. But he wants to hear from us. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to share our blessings, to share our sorrows, to share our burdens with him. That's his desire for us. And so the moment you trust that Christ as your Savior, you're always in his presence. That's because he never leaves us. Sometimes as Christians, we leave him, don't we? We go in ways he doesn't want us to go. But he never leaves us. And when we pray, he is always there. He's always attentive to what we have to say. And you say, wow, there must be millions of people around the world who are praying at any given moment. He's God. He can handle that. We can't, but he can. And so it's wonderful to know that we can talk to him anytime, anywhere, about anything. And he listens to us. And the question for us is, how often do you desire to pray? And the answer is this: quite often, if you're a true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because a true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ is always ready to pray. And one of my favorite characters in the Bible to illustrate that is Daniel. Daniel prayed morning, noon, and night, but you'll find he was ready to pray other times too. Prayer was important in his life. So a true servant of Jesus Christ will be prayerful. Third, a true servant of Jesus Christ will be purposeful. Will be purposeful. In verse 10, he says, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. What was his purpose? Come on now, it's not that hard. To be with them, right? And he's writing a letter, but he's saying, boy, I have a purpose. And I want to be with you again. I want to be able to fellowship with you again. I want to be able to share the Word of God with you again. Look at verse 13. He says, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I what? Purposed, so there's our word, to come unto you, but was let hitherto. In other words, there was times that was my purpose to get to you, but something else prevented that. And but he said that I might have some fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles. So everywhere Paul went, he desired to go back and to help establish those churches that he founded and to help them in their spiritual growth. And that's one of the reasons why Paul wrote 14 of the books we have in the New Testament. Because he was writing to churches and to people that he had a burden for. He had a purpose in his life. And the word purpose, by the way, in verse 13, literally speaks of determination. But that's what purpose is, isn't it? It's a determination. I'm going to get this done because my Lord wants me to do it for him. And so to have that determination. And I do not believe we will ever be effective servants of Christ unless we are determined to do his will. Unless we have a purpose in life, and that is the purpose. So are you purposeful in your Christian life, in your Christian service? Number four, a true servant of Jesus Christ will have the ability to impart. verse 11. Paul says, "For I long to see you." That's a follow-up to what we just saw in verse 10. He's still talking about seeing them. He said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." Paul said, "I want to see you." That's his purpose. But he said, "For this purpose, that I can impart to you something that's going to help you in your spiritual life." Paul loved to preach a word. And I think any preacher that's worth his salt will want to preach a word. Not what man thinks. Not his own ideas. But we want to preach what God says. That's the purpose. That's my purpose. When I stand behind the pulpit, I want to impart something that will help you. And by the way, if it helps you, it helps me. So please understand, a lot of times, I'll put it that way, that I preach and I step on your toes, I step on mine too. But that's important. If I have a need, you have a need. You see what I mean? And I want needs to be met. And I want the Lord to meet needs in my own life. I think that's very important. And so the reason he wanted to impart a spiritual gift to them is so ye may be established. Literally, that means that ye may be strengthened. Paul says, "I want to come to you again. I want to preach to you again. I want to share the Word of God to you again. I want to help you in your spiritual life. I want to strengthen you." And a lot of Christians today are weak because they don't come to church. They don't read the Bible at home like Dave was talking about. They're hurting themselves. And I'm not talking tonight about people who are sick or people who are weather-bound. I understand that. There are times of difficulty, and we're not able to be where we want to be. But if you're not here, that should be your desire to be here. There may be something that hindered that, but that's your desire to be in God's house. We need to be strengthened, and our strength comes from a servant who shares the Word of God and has that desire to help you. And that's the type of ministry that is needed in churches today. But so many churches have gone to other things to attract people, to satisfy people. And I want you to understand, I'm not here to satisfy you. I'm here to satisfy the Lord. But if I satisfy the Lord, I'll satisfy you. I'll help you. And that's the burden of those who preach the Word of God. And so one of my main goals in preaching should be to strengthen you in your Christian faith. And since I have to preach the Word of God to do that, then I strengthen myself because I'm in the Word first. I tell you a little secret. Every time you hear me preach from this pulpit, I've already preached that same message to myself. I've reviewed it. I've made sure that what we're saying is founded on the Scripture, on the Word of God, so that it can be helpful and it can meet needs. So Paul had that prayed as a true servant of Jesus Christ to have that ability to impart something to those that he was speaking to. Number five, we find in verse 14. Number five is a true servant of Jesus Christ will be responsible. A true servant of Jesus Christ will be responsible. in verse 14, Paul says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul said, that's my responsibility. And in saying that the way he said it, he's saying, my responsibility is to all people. And to anyone that God lets me have a ministry to, my responsibility is to them. Think about that in your everyday life. When you leave home in the morning to go to school, to go to church, to go to work, to shop, to take care of those necessities in life, which involves going to the bank for one thing, going to the gas station for another. We need gas, don't we? And we need to put some money in the bank so we'll have something to buy the things that are necessary that we need. And Paul said, we have a responsibility to all people. So wherever you go, whatever you do, remember, first of all, your responsibility is to help someone you meet on the way. The opportunities are there. The problem is, and I do this too, but the problem is we miss a lot of those opportunities, don't we? But I can tell you, Gina and I have had our best blessings and just wonderful times when, just under circumstances, God has put someone right there for us to talk to. And it may be sitting on a bench there at Walmart. And I'll tell you right now, they don't have enough benches at Walmart for me. And when I find one, it's usually occupied. But sometimes you find one that's half occupied. And there's your opportunity to be able to talk to someone about the Lord. Paul used the word in this text, in verse 14, he said, I am a debtor. I'm a debtor. Debtor means literally to be duty bound. I am a debtor to all people. Whether they're rich, whether they're poor, whether they're black, whether they're white, whether they're smart or whether they're dumb, you know. Yeah, puts me there too. But when a dumb person shares the Word of God, they become very smart, don't they? In the right way. But we need to be willing. We're duty-bound to share the gospel. Paul said, in the next verse, he said, so, based on what he said in verse 14, I'm a debtor. He said, so as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I'm ready. I'm ready. Why? Because I have a responsibility to everyone, regardless of their social standing, regardless of their education, regardless of their lack of things, regardless, by the way, of their political position, they still need the Lord, don't they? And we're not out to argue politics with people. We're out to share the gospel with them and let them know someone loves them. We have a responsibility. Number six, a true servant of Jesus Christ will be ready. And that's what Paul said in verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am, what's the next word? Ready. I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm ready to serve the Lord. And we need to ask ourselves this question. Am I ready, no matter where I go, to do what God wants me to do? Am I ready to do that? And that's something to think about, isn't it? The problem is that too many Christians are ready to do only what they want to do. And it's good that you want to do things if it's the right thing. If you want to serve the Lord, you should want to do things, shouldn't you? But Paul says, I'm ready anytime, anywhere, any place. I'm ready to do what God wants me to do. And the word ready in this verse carries the idea of willingness. Am I willing to do what God wants me to do? What are you willing to do for the Lord? Only what is convenient? That's the easy way in. Lord, I'll do this if it's convenient. It's like me saying, Gina, I'll do the dishes and help you if it's convenient. And then immediately she prays, I sure hope it is convenient. You know? But we do a lot of things out of convenience. But what about when things aren't so convenient? Are you still ready to share the gospel? Are you still ready to tell people about the Lord? And that's so important. I shared a story with you here recently about a guy who was a student at Appalachian Bible College when I pastored in Becker, West Virginia. And that's been a long time ago. Rod can tell you that. But this guy's name was Dave Crouch. And Dave was someone who I knew before I ever went to Becker, West Virginia, before I ever went to Callaway Heights. I had been his counselor when I was at Southland Bible Institute. We had a summer camp there, and I was Dave's counselor. So that's way back. I was a teenager then. Dave was a boy. But that's how we met. And then the first church I pastored was in Owensville, Kentucky, and that was the area that Dave lived in. And when God led us from there, we went to Beckley. And I called Dave. I knew he was a student at Appalachian, but I didn't know anything else about the area I was going to. But I said, Dave, a church in Beckley has asked me to come and speak and consider me as their pastor. And I said, do you by any chance know anything about Callaway Heights? And Dave said, yeah, I've been going to church there while I was a student at Appalachian. He said, I know everybody in the church. And when they wanted me to come the first time, Gina had just had our second daughter, and she wasn't able to travel yet. And so I called Dave. I said, Dave, I need some help. I need some directions and so forth about where I need to go when I get to Beckley. And I said, can you help me? Can you give me some directions? He said, yeah, I can go with you. And so he went with me and was able to introduce me to everybody in the church. And what a blessing that was. Dave had a servant's heart. And after I went there as pastor, and when I went there, the first year I was there was David's last year at Appalachian Bible College. And but David told me, Dave, I told him Dave. Dave's a good name, isn't it, Dave? Yeah. And I wish I could tell you all the story about Dave Crouch's amazing life and all that he went through. He had a terrible heart and nearly died when he was very young. And so it stunted his growth. He wasn't big. He was a short man. But short men have great power with the Lord when they're surrendered to Him. And Dave was like that. And I appreciate that. By the way, he's in heaven now, though he's younger than me. He's in heaven now. He's been there for a number of years, probably 15 years. He died younger because of his heart issues. But he served the Lord. He was always ready. And he told me, I have a Christian servant assignment with your church. But he said, any other time you need me, you call me and I'll work it in the schedule. And he did. And what a blessing that was. And the final thing, number 7, a true servant of Jesus Christ will be unashamed of the gospel. Notice that in verse 16. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." A true servant of Jesus Christ will be unashamed of the gospel. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." After all, it was the gospel of Jesus Christ that transformed his life. And oh, how it transformed his life. 3 great missionary journeys in his life. He spent time in prisons for the sake of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was blessed with many friends, but there were times when there was no one there. But he was still faithful to the Lord, and everywhere he went, he was unashamed of the gospel of Christ. He stood before King Agrippa, and he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He stood before Felix, the governor, and he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And those were men who could have destroyed him if they wanted to. And Paul would have been okay with that. Because he was ready to go to be with the Lord too, wasn't he? But he was not ashamed of Jesus Christ, no matter who he was dealing with. He was not ashamed. The problem with a lot of Christians, they act like they're ashamed of the Lord, you know. There's the opportunity to be a witness for the Lord, and oh, I can't do that. I don't know enough. And challenging Christians to be soul winners and to be bold in their witness for the Lord, I don't know the Bible like you do. And I say, well, get busy and study. And I think some of you probably know more about the Bible than I do. I don't know. But what you know, you can share, right? You know Jesus saved you. You can share that, can't you? You may not know all the answers to all the problems you'll be confronted with, but you know what Jesus did for you, and that's what you have to share with people, what Jesus did for you. Do we blush at being identified with Christ? There are many things in today's society that should cause us to blush. It seems that worldly people are no longer ashamed of their sin. They're very open in their sin. They have every argument to tell you why it's okay for them to commit sin. And I always tell them, your argument's not with me. Your argument's with God. Your argument's with His Word. And that's a good thing to remember, isn't it? Now, if the world is not ashamed of its sin, then we certainly should not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that delivered us from sin. We ought to not be ashamed to speak up for the Lord Jesus. And yes, you'll find some times where you'll deal with someone that's real hard case and real bitter and real angry with God, and you'll run across those people. But a lot of times you'll run across people who are just waiting for someone to care about them and to share the gospel with them. And that's so important. So don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus. Don't be ashamed of His gospel. After all, His gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Power is the Greek word dynamis, from which we get our word dynamite. That's interesting, isn't it? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is dynamite. All you got to do is light the fuse. God will do the work. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it alone can transform the life of a sinner, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. Amen? Let's bow together in prayer. And I want to ask you one question tonight. And you can entertain that in your mind. And you can do what God would lead you to do. The question is this: are you a true servant of Jesus?